Yes, with the faith, not faith explosion, the light the night, there's a sign-up sheet back there also on the information station booth thing. If you would like to help out, it would be greatly appreciated because we've got a lot of different things to do. This thing is cockeyed again. How does it get crooked? No. Let's do that. I fixed it. I got it. Thank God. Whew, that was close. It probably was you. Appreciate it. No, I'm joking. I don't know what I was talking about. Light the night. Yeah, because we are wanting to be a big blessing, do a lot more. And there's a lot of games and stuff that we still need volunteers for. So if you're interested, please help out. Amen. Also, Saturday, we're going to have a work day here because we had the fire marshal come through and a few of these like push doors, we got a few nicks on and we got to have them fixed by Tuesday, right? By Tuesday. So there's a few doors and things we got to touch up and some exit lights and stuff for the fire marshal. Yes.
Is it to get a recharge?
What? No, it's the push doors.
Okay.
Yeah, the push doors, they were like, it took more pressure to push on them than's required. So we have to come do that, fix that up, and then we'll probably go ahead and move this light bar while we're doing that kind of stuff. So Saturday, what time y'all want to start? I'll be here at 6. All right, so if you show up and I'm gone, it's because everything's done. I'll throw that out there. All right.
Amen.
Because I don't like starting at 10 o'clock because then I got to be here all day, right? And then I still got to study. So I like to get it done early. That way I can get home and study still. Amen.
Amen.
This Saturday. This Saturday. Yes, ma'am. We can do it, faith explosion, but we'd be a little late. Fire marshal wants it done by this Tuesday. Amen. So, now we got all that out of the way. Let's get to the word. Amen.
Amen.
Turn over to Ecclesiastes 7, please. We'll start by verse 10. King James, fine. King James will work. I'll pray and we'll get started. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. We thank you for everything you've done, for everything you're doing, and for everything you will do. I thank you, Father God, for the Holy Ghost, the helper, and the teacher, you said, the teacher. And so, sir, we just call on you right now in the name of Jesus to unveil and reveal truth to us from the word this evening. I thank you, Father God, that whenever we walk in the light that we already have, we qualify for more light. And so, Father God, we just receive it, and we ask you for more light right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. We come humbly, reverently, and we come with an open eyes, open heart, open mind, and open ears to receive this word this evening. Not that what I would have to say for the congregation, but what you would have for them, Father God. And so I thank you, my tongue will be as a pen of a ready writer. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Say not thou, what is this cause that the former days were what?
Better than these.
For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Very profound statement right there. And I forgot to tell you this real fast. We're still talking about unbelief, obviously, right? This is number 10 because we haven't got to number 10, but we are tonight. Amen. And number 10 is, unbelief looks back where faith is always looking forward.
Amen.
Unbelief looks back where faith is always looking forward. Amen. This is number 10 that I wrote down. I also wrote this down. We never have to doubt.
Amen.
We doubt because we choose to.
Amen.
We never have to doubt. We doubt because we choose to.
Amen.
It's a choice. It's a choice. It's not, well, the devil made me do it. He can't make you do it. It's a choice. Just like we have a choice to tell somebody hi or not.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's the same choice. God gave everybody a free will.
Amen.
He can't make you do anything. And he won't make you do anything.
Amen.
Amen. So unbelief is a choice.
Yes, sir.
Unbelief is a choice.
Amen.
Just like getting saved is a choice.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. I wrote down some things. We'll talk about it real fast. Right here. This is kind of talking about, you heard it before, a lot of us, we've said it. The good old days.
Amen.
The good old days. You know, back when our lives were better. We didn't have so many bills. We got to live at our parents' house. You know, you've heard people say it. I wish I was still at my mom and dad's house where I didn't have any responsibility, any bills. You ever realize that's unbelief? I know it doesn't feel good sometimes, but it helps us, right?
Yes, right.
Amen. Amen. Don't look back with longing. Yeah. Right, and then I wrote down right here, I wish I still lived with my parents because it was easy back then. Mm-hmm. No responsibility, no bills. I even wrote this down. No having to be a godly figure for my family.
Amen.
I know. Yes, that. Sir. That one feels good, don't it? Hallelujah. Oh, man. We ain't got time to even go into that sentence right now. I almost went off in it, but then I was like, we ain't got time for that. Amen. After that, I wrote down, why would anyone want to go back? And then I wrote down, because they believe their past is better than their future ever will be. They believe their past is better than their future ever will be. And that, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You didn't think this through, talking about the good old days. The times when it was easy. How is your faith strengthened? Your faith is put to the test, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So, okay, I'll ask that again. So your faith is tested, right?
Yes.
It's purified, put in the fire, right? Comes out strong.
Amen.
So the good old days when it was easy, how was your faith? But the test and the trials and the things that we go through up till we're at right now, how far has our faith come? And yet we're wanting to go back to a place where our faith isn't where it is today because we thought it was easy. That's because you didn't have any responsibility. Maybe you wasn't in faith yet. And so you were relying on a system or your parents.
Amen.
See, and when I say relying on a system, but first off, let me say this. You know, like I said, whenever me and Chelsea got married, I made $12,000 the first year. The second year was $15,000. So obviously, we used government assistance.
Yes,
amen. But there came a time where we didn't have to use government assistance anymore. But it required me and her getting into the Word and finding out what belongs to us.
Amen.
That's what it required. It didn't require us sitting around going, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe that happened. Oh, I wish we lived back then. Never going forwards, but constantly talking about, I wish I lived in the good old.
Amen.
But yet not ever looking forward, seeing what God can do for you in the future. What he can do for you tomorrow, you're looking at yesterday going, man, that was so much better. Thinking that God doesn't have the ability to make your future way 1,000 times better than your past ever was. And so now you're looking back in unbelief is what it is, because God doesn't have the ability to make your future any better. How you are right now is the best you'll ever be. And so back then, it's a lot better than it is now, because now I'm having to use my faith in all these tests. It's hard, you know, and it's uncomfortable. And now I got to get in the Word and read my Bible and exercise faith and stand up against, you know, principalities and Satan and everybody, but yet the Word of God will strengthen me every single day if I get into it. So then I won't be a whiny baby. I'm not talking to anybody in here right now, but I won't be a whiny baby. I'll stand up and face it like I do everything else and not back down from it and fall down and whine and cry about everything. But I'll face it like I face everything. When I was in the military, whenever we was clearing a house, when you got it, got fired up for a minute. Amen. Whenever we used deck cord and stuff, and we'd put it on the door, and we'd look at each other, and we'd be like, yo, hit it. Soon as we hit that, it's moving. It doesn't matter. If the first man fell down, everybody didn't stop and go, oh, no, because now everybody's dead. You run over his back and you get in the house and you start clearing what you need to clear. I remember one night we was doing a mission to a house and stuff, and we're running to the house because there was different spots we had to hit, and me and my team, we're hitting this one house. And so we're running through this field wide open, full gear. We didn't see the fence, right? We're moving. My buddy is right in front of me because I was number two man. And I see him hit this fence, and he just, I don't know how, did some kind of football move and just kept moving. And I'm running going, what just happened? What is this magic that he just did? And so we get to the door, and we did, and so obviously I got in front of him because he hit the fence. And so I said, body breach. And so I just kept running, and I just hit the door as hard as I could. Because we're clearing it. You know, momentum's coming. We ain't got time to set it up. Everybody's hitting their house. And I hit that door and I fall on my face. Me and the door both. Bam. Guess what they did? Over my back and cleared the house. Because if we'd have stopped and there's a guy standing right there in front of us, what's going to happen? See, I look at the Word of God. I'm the same way as I was in the military. Whenever we got a target, whenever we're going after something, I don't care the resistance that's coming against me, because he's defeated in the first place. If I understand he's defeated, then I will continually move forward. Even though the resistance is up against me, it doesn't matter the resistance. This belongs to me because God said it did. And if I don't understand that, whenever I do come up against something, I'll back up and start going, it was easier back then when I didn't have all these bills. When I didn't have all these kids to get on my nerves. When I didn't have this crazy husband to get on my nerves every day. God, was easy back then when I didn't have all this responsibility, when I didn't have any faith, when I didn't have to exercise my faith, when I didn't have to get into the Word of God, when I could just kind of float along. Because that, in reality, if you think about it, that's what we're wanting. That's why some people, once they get to moving and they get in the Word, and you'll see them, they're moving, getting into the Word, getting everything that belongs to them, they'll get to a spot where they become comfortable. And now it's coast mode. And Satan will start eating their lunch up. And they won't even realize it because they're in coast mode now. You know, I built my faith up to this. I'm doing good. I don't need to read like I've been reading. I don't need to study like I've been studying. I'm doing good now. And that doing good now will eat your lunch up. Ask me how I know. Ask me how I know. Yeah, happened real bad to me. Because that comfortable, that just getting in that easy mode, well, I've made it. You know, I can breathe now.
Yeah.
I've got past that hard spot.
Yep.
And then another one comes along, you know, and then you start going, God, why? Well, why don't you just exercise your faith and do the same thing you did on that one? And continue forwards instead of whining about it.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, because I could show you other people that whined, and it didn't fare out too good for them, the Israelites.
Yes.
Whined constantly, and we read about them, and then we go, "Oh, I can't believe they'd do that." But yet, tomorrow or the other day, you know, some of us we were going up against something. God. Why? Look at this. Why is the car check engine light coming on? It's a brand new car, God.
Yeah. Yes.
Instead of speaking to the car, going, car, I command you to function how you were designed to function. Satan, I command you to take your hands off my property.
Right.
See, doing that instead of going, God, why?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We're talking to people that's not here right now. Amen. Right? Someone that made a bad financial decision or got into an accident and now they have constant pain or had some kind of problems, I don't know what I wrote down, might look back at before any of that happened and wish their life was like it was before that happened to them because they believe they don't have anything to look forward to tomorrow. So constantly going, man, I wish I was back there again. I wish I was back in high school when I didn't have any responsibilities or I didn't have to use my faith. Live with my parents, you know, I didn't have to pay any bills. But see, whenever you figure out what the Word of God says, once you start getting the Word on the inside of you, those things stop bothering you like they do. Because if we constantly look back going, man, I wish I was, before this accident, I wish I was like that. We're saying, I don't believe I can ever get back to that same state. I'll have to live like this forever. I wish I was about 5 years back, I'd have made this, this, and this decision. Because God doesn't have the ability to help me get through whatever dumb decision I did make and make it come out for my good now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Some of these memories we have from the past, we need to throw them away. Because sometimes people tend to think about them and go, oh, to be back there again. Right? That was the best time of what? My life.
Yep.
And you'll hear people say that. Yep. That was the best time of my life. Well, what about tomorrow? What can God do for you tomorrow?
Yes.
What can God do for you next year?
Yes.
And you're telling me that that was the best time of your life when you was a teenager? A lot of times we're just being babies.
Yeah.
If we, you know, we're grown-ups because we can talk. Amen.
Yeah.
And look, a lot of this stuff, I have conversations with myself. I really do. I'll go, all right, Ricky, really? Because I'll look at something and then I'll go, and as soon as I look at it, a thought will come. Not a good thought. Not a thought from God. I know that. 100% because it's a negative thought. And so then I go, okay, am I in unbelief? Is that why I'm looking at this situation like that? Am I in unbelief? Is that why I'm looking at this? And then I'll step back and just move that whole thing out of the way. because I was going to talk about it to somebody, but then I'll look at it and I won't ever let it leave my mouth because I've looked at it and said, that's unbelief. I'm not going to touch that with my mouth, and I'll let it go.
Amen.
So I constantly have conversations with myself daily. I do, because if I'm looking at this situation, well, look at this. Well, what about the church's finances? Well, what about these people? Well, what about that? If I'm constantly looking at it in that, because number one, God is our source for Spirit Life Church.
Amen.
God is Spirit Life Church's source, just so we all understand that. And so if I'm looking at situations or people or things like that, now I've placed all the focus and pressure on the congregation and not on God. And so I got to do that in my life as well, in my finances as well. Well, I might need to look at getting another job. So God isn't big enough to help you get through what you're going through right now? Have you spent time asking God what you should do? Or are you making decisions based on what it looks like to what you can do? Amen. Something that's constantly dragging your attention back to the past, wanting to be there again, we should obviously eradicate from our thinking.
Yes. Yes.
That's constantly dragging you back to, man, I wish I was back then. I wish I wouldn't have made that decision. Number one, join the rest of us.
Amen.
I wish I wouldn't have made some decisions last week.
Amen.
So number one, just go, you know what? That was dumb. God, I repent of that. That was dumb on my part.
Yes,
and then what do I do? Oh, I just keep looking forward and moving that way. I don't allow Satan to bring that up going, I can't believe you made that decision. And he does quite often. He really does. But I just tell him, man, that ain't my fault, ignorant. I repented of that. I don't even remember it. God doesn't, so why are you trying to remind me of it?
Yes. Amen.
So I continually move forward. If you're always looking back, you're in unbelief because you have no faith for tomorrow. If we're constantly talking about the good old days, looking back, then we're in unbelief because we have no faith for tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. You want to go back because you don't believe that there is a future of victory, prosperity, divine health, joy, or peace ahead of you. You believe the best was back then, and just struggling from here on out is ahead. Amen, yeah, hallelujah. Numbers 14, we really ain't got time to go to it, so I'm going to tell you, they would always, Numbers 14, 4, I wrote it down, they would always say things like, we want to go back to where?
Egypt.
A place of slavery. A place of lack. And they would always say things like, oh, we were fed better there. Y'all brought us out here to starve, to die. Let us go back to slavery. Let us go back to where we didn't have nothing. Let us go back to a place where I just lived in a shack with nothing. Where I just had to work almost just from sun up to sun down for somebody else. And during that time, get whipped and beat. Let me go back to that. That was such a great time. That was way better than what you have for us now. That is crazy. But how many times do we do that? How many times do we do that? Look at where we was last year. Look at where you was 5 years ago. Are you any better today? But yet, sometimes we'll catch ourselves going, man, I wish I was back there. But yet, I'm living better now than I ever have, but it's a little hard. And it gets hard. It does get hard. It gets aggravating sometimes. But the best thing about that is to really work on your joy.
Yes.
Learn how to laugh.
Yes.
Just sit around and go, ha, 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 ha. I challenge you. Just whenever you, throughout the week, whenever you get a chance, whenever you're sitting on the couch watching TV, during commercials,
yeah,
or just take 15 minutes and go, I'm going to laugh for 10 minutes, or I'm going to laugh for 15 minutes. And you'll get through 30 seconds and feel like it's been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, son, golly, it's only been 15 seconds. Ha, ha, ha. So, you know, it might start out dry. But I promise you, there will be a gusher that hits. And you ever seen a drunk person? I have, because I used to see myself in the mirror quite often, right? And, you know, what bothers a drunk person?
Nothing.
Nothing. Laugh about anything. That's how a Christian's life should be. Being able to laugh at anything that comes up against them. Anything. Joy is such a precious commodity that God gave us.
Amen.
To use, not to talk about, but to use.
Amen.
When's the last time you used it?
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11, real fast, please. Do Jeremiah 29:11, Proverbs 3:2. Well, you go to Proverbs 3:2. I'll go to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, of evil, to give you an expected end." To give you an expected end.
Yes.
Amen. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil."
Amen.
Peace and not evil. Amen. To give you an expected end. Amen. Not a destruction end. An expected end. Amen. And then Proverbs 3:2 says, "For length of days and what?
Long life."
And long what?
Life.
Long what?
Life.
How long is that?
Long.
At least 120 or whenever you're satisfied. And peace shall they add to thee. So, for length of days and long life and what?
Peace.
Shall they add to thee?
Yes.
Amen. So, we keep talking. If we constantly keep looking back here, we got to look forward to get this.
Amen.
Not back here. Here.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. At least a couple of y'all agree.
Amen.
Job 8:7. I don't remember the translations you gave me. Do we have God's Word? God's Word? No. Pull it up in the King James, Job 8:7, please. Say again. What did he say? Oh. Job, yeah, Job 8:7, you got it. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy what?
Ladder.
Should what?
Great increase.
Amen. All right. The God's Word translation says, "Then what you had in the past will seem small."
Yes.
Compared with the great prosperity you'll have in the future.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But if we're constantly looking here and not here, that's our downfall, right?
Yes.
Not our downfall, but that'll get us tripped up, right?
Yes.
Just real fast, because we got 1 minute. We went through the symptoms of unbelief. Now I'm just going to show you a couple. There's two types of unbelief. Go to 1 Corinthians. Write this down. Write down 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Read it in the Amplified Classic. That's pretty good. And then write down Hebrews 3, 11 through 19. You can read that one in the King James. Pull up Hebrews 4, please. 1. No, just King James, fine. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Next. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with
faith
in them that heard it. Next. For which we have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Go to verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of
unbelief.
Go to verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of
unbelief.
Talking about the Israelites, right? They didn't enter in, right?
Yes,
I agree. And that word right there in verse 6 and 11, unbelief, the word is apatheo, however you want to say it, which means unpersuadable.
Amen.
Unpersuadable. So see, they knew what belonged to them,
yeah.
Right? And number one, they seen God work. God got them out of Egypt, right? And then they had the clouds and then the water and then all the food, then the then the manna, right? So they seen God every single day. They got to the promised land, but still didn't believe him, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's unbelief, right? Everybody agree? Yes, which means apatheo, which is unpersuadableness. It also means disobedience. Now turn over to 1 Timothy 1. So that we just read, that kind of unbelief knows. It knows, but it won't believe. Like the Israelites knew God was able to get them into the promised land, but they still wouldn't believe, correct? But yet they knew who God was. They seen him work in their lives every single day, right?
Yes.
They knew, but they still wouldn't believe. All right. Now this one, 1 Timothy, about verse 1, 1 Timothy 1:13. Who was before a what? And a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it, how? In unbelief. This is Paul. Persecuting the church. Right? Persecuting the church. He thought he was doing right. Because look, he said, I did it ignorantly. What does ignorant mean? Unlearned? You don't know. See, so this unbelief you won't get in trouble with. You just don't know.
Amen.
The other one, they knew, but they still were in unbelief. They wouldn't believe God, even though they knew who God was and his ability.
Yeah.
This one, Paul thought he was doing right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he even says, I did it ignorantly in what?
Unbelief.
Yeah.
Amen.
So two types of unbelief. First one is you know, but you still won't believe. The second one is you don't know and you don't believe.
Yeah.
The first one, you'll get you in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We did good. Amen. We made it. Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.